Our gospel reading is found in Matthew, the 13th chapter, and we're beginning a series on the parables of Jesus. This is the parable of the sower and the soils from Matthew 13, verses 1 and following. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds. As I said, we're going to begin a series on the parables of Jesus, and this is one of the most famous parables of Jesus. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. There was a rabbi who was out visiting folks, and he was talking to this family son, a six-year-old boy who was frightened. He said to the little boy, he said, "So your mother says prayers with you every night. That's very commendable. What does she say?" And the little boy replied, "Thank God he's in bed." Well, it doesn't have anything to do with parables, but it's nice to have a smile. Jesus talked about truths of life, and he often used parables to do that. And there's something about a parable that stays with you. There's some imagery there that's different than just ordinary teachers were sort of explaining something. And so he told these parables, which are powerful stories, and they're related a lot to the culture of the times. People could relate, and there was a deeper truth there. And so when we look at the parables of Jesus, try to think about the meaning that's deep and then how we can apply it to our lives. I think our problem sometimes is when we look at the parables of Jesus or we hear them, maybe we've heard them a number of times and we really don't think about the truth that's really there for us. Sometimes we think, well, that truth is there for someone else. But the truth of the matter is that they can apply to all of our lives and help us to grow spiritually. It isn't just the parable of the sower. It's actually the parable of the sower and the soils. And so the disciples come to him and ask, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And Jesus replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Those who have will be given more, and they will have an abundance. As for those who do not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will ever hear, but never understand. You will ever see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they may not have seen with their eyes or hear with their ears, understanding with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them.'" Jesus explains the parables to the disciples and why he's speaking to them. There's a sense in which, if you're like me, you kind of feel sorry for the people who don't have. In other words, Jesus says, those who have will have more, an abundance, and those who don't have will have less. But what does he really mean by that? In other words, Jesus goes on to say that the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled where people are able to hear, but they don't hear and understand. And people are able to see, but they close their eyes. And their hearts are calloused. And so at the end there, though, Jesus invites people to listen deeply and says, if they will open their hearts and minds, then he will touch them and heal them. And he goes on to then explain what this parable means. And he says this, "Blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When people hear the message about the kingdom and do not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away and not sown in their hearts. This is the seed falling along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to people who hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to people who hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to people who hear the word and understand it. They produce a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." You think about that for a moment. And so Jesus is emphasizing, first of all, this is in a time before the technology that we have in farming today, which is amazing. And I go out and visit people's farms and see
equipment and technology and the thought that goes into that with GPS and computers and everything, and able to analyze the soil and its, how it produced last year. But this is a time before all that. And so farmers would go out and do what they called broadcast sowing. And so broadcast sowing is just that they took seed and they threw it and they sort of scattered it everywhere. And some fell in good soil and some on not so good soil. And so the emphasis for Jesus here is in the kind of soils that it falls on. And so the first one is the hard path. And there in this hard path, the seed falls on that. And it's so hard that the seed can't take any root at all. And either the birds come along, and Jesus uses the emphasis that the evil one, that Satan will come and sort of take that away, and it bears no fruit at all. And so people's lives are so hardened that it doesn't take any root at all. And then he says there's the rocky soil. And in the rocky soil, the seed falls there, and it begins to grow, but because the rocks are underneath, the seed doesn't have any root, the plant, you know, sprouts, and the roots aren't very deep at all. But when the sun comes, and the heat comes from the day, and it was very hot in the Near Eastern land, like it is here sometimes, as a matter of fact, and then the plant, because it has no roots, it isn't able to get water, and it just shrivels up. And Jesus says that's our life when we begin to have roots, but they aren't deep enough. And then persecution, adversity, and challenges come into our life, and then our faith fades and our withers and dries up. And then he said there's the thorny soil. And there the soil is good. The plant falls onto the ground. It does have deep roots, but it begins to come up, and then the thorns sprout up and choke out the good plant. And he says that's like the person in their heart. The seed takes root, but then the cares of this world, the distractions of wealth or fame or fortune or just worldliness in general begin to choke out the seed and the plant dies. And then he says there's the fertile soil. And that soil bears the good fruit, it has good roots, and the plant grows, and then it bears fruit and yields 30, 60, 100 fold. And you know the truth of that here in farm country, how true that is. And you can imagine if we didn't have the technology today, you weren't able to analyze the soil, that some places would yield better and some worse. You can kind of tell that now and sort of adjust your game plan towards that. But this time you couldn't. And so the question, I think, as we look at all this is, first of all, in our own hearts and lives, what kind of soil are we? Are we the kind of soil that has become so hardened for some reason in our life that we're like that, almost like a sidewalk with the seed falls on it and it's just either the bird takes it or the evil one sort of takes it away? Or are we the person that has sort of just a veneer of good soil and underneath it there's rocks of life, whatever those rocks might be? And the seed of God's word falls on our life and we begin to develop faith, then all of a sudden we don't have deep roots. And we all face challenges and difficulties and adversity in life in the heat of all that. When the heat is turned up, does the seed of our faith, the sprouting plant of our faith, sort of wither? And then there's the seed that falls on relatively good soil. It grows for a while, but then the thorns and cares of this world choke it out. And all of us can be choked out. We can have a good faith. We can grow up in a good family. We can have a faith that's nurtured. But then it's easy to get distracted by the things of the world. It doesn't matter whether it's wealth or fame or just sort of chasing after all the things of this life, and that begins to take away from the priority of church and God's word and faith in Christ, and that's easy to happen. And then finally there's the good soil that bears good fruit. And I think the challenge here, and Jesus sort of alludes to this before this story, isn't you're just one kind of soil and that's it. I think it's really true that all of us can change our lives in some sense. You might be in a place where you're so hardened against these sort of things, and maybe something happened, whether the church sort of offended someone or whatever. You might know someone like that. But all of us, if we're rocky soil, we can become broken. And sometimes the things of life break us, and sometimes those are difficulties. But our own lives, we can humble ourselves and become broken. And the word humility actually is the word for humus or a sort of a broken soil in our life. And so we can break ourselves. And then we can also be the kind of people that are distracted by the cares of this world and the thorns of life, as Jesus says. But it's also true that we can clear aside those distractions. And sometimes there's an event in our life that causes that. But sometimes we ourselves can come to the realization that somehow our priorities have gotten astray and we've gotten our priorities turned around, and we can clear that aside and we can sort of renew that soil and we can begin to grow and bear fruit. And I think The truth of the matter is that you and I, when we put God first in our life, we can know the fruit bears life itself. The fruitfulness and fulfillment of sharing God's word and doing what God wants us to is the greatest satisfaction we can know anywhere. There isn't just the illusion that we grow, but that we keep on growing. And Peter emphasizes that. Jesus emphasizes it. But I want to just read for a moment again what Peter says, because Peter emphasizes it so well. In fact, he uses the imagery of seed. Listen to what he says. Now, he says, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. And that actually, the word is, where he says, you're already loving one another. That is brotherly love, that sort of Philadelphia love we talked about before. But he challenges them to a sincere love that is from the heart. And the word he actually uses there is agape love. So he's saying, he's challenging them, you're loving with this brotherly love, but I want you to take the next step and love with kind of Christ-like love that we all should. And when you do, you become more mature. And he goes on to say, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. Again, that same imagery that Jesus used of the seed, of the word of God. And he says, through the living and enduring word of God. And then he goes on to say, at the end of that, like newborn babies, crave pure milk, spiritual milk, so that you may grow up into your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. So he's using that imagery of growth, and that we don't just accept the Lord once in our life. We're not just born again once in our life, but there's a process of growing and maturity that he challenges us to. And Jesus does the same thing, because when you think about the image of that good soil where the plant grows and bears fruit and it yields and it bears 30, 60, or 100-fold, there's a sense that that seed goes on to produce more seed and that process continues. So when you think about our life, how are we growing? If you were to look back 5 or 10 years, are you growing deeper in the Lord? Are your roots growing deeper? And are you growing up in the Lord? And then the last question, I think, is, are you sharing the seed yourself? Because there's a sense in which we are both the soil and we're also the sower. Jesus talked about going out and sharing the good news of the gospel. And if we're that kind of plant that grows up and becomes mature and bears fruit, then there's a sense that we produce seed. And what do you do with the seed of God's word, with the seed of God's love? I think the challenge for all of us is to go out and, like that sower, to sort of broadcast that seed. And you and I, sometimes when we share our faith, we're like maybe that sower. And we might look at the seed that falls on the rocky ground and doesn't bear any fruit, doesn't even bear anything other than the seed. It's sort of blown away or snatched away the birds, and we might be hurt by that. Or we might see someone that we shared our faith with, and that person sort of grew for a little while, and then trouble and adversity in their life caused it to wither. Or we might see those who shared the faith, and then the cares and concerns of the world choked it out like that thorny soil. But we can't be discouraged by that, because you and I have no control over other people's lives. Our commission from Jesus is to share the good news of the gospel. And when we share the good news of the gospel, sometimes that seed falls on good ground, and sometimes it falls on ground that isn't so good. But when we do that, and we're really committed to that, then that begins to bear fruit. And that's really in God's hands. And so we're not just the soil where we can sort of either accept the seed and nurture it and allow it to grow and bear fruit in our lives, but we're also the sower. Are we out there sowing the seed of God's word? Are we sharing God's love? And it isn't just preaching or bringing people to church, it's the way we live our lives. That's that wonderful saying that I love, preach every day, use words only when necessary. The story of St. Francis of Assisi, and St. Francis was a fairly famous preacher at the time. He never really became an ordained priest, but he was out preaching, and this monk came to him. And the monk wanted to go with St. Francis to go on one of his preaching ministries. And so they were out walking, and St. Francis said, you can go with me. So St. Francis and this other monk were out there, and they went to visit this village. It was some distance away. And as St. Francis went throughout the village, he greeted everyone, he talked to them, he listened to them, and he shared the concerns and God's love in all kinds of ways. And then on the way back, he never stopped and preached, never talked to large crowds. This other monk was sort of aghast by that. He said, I don't understand. I thought you were going to go preach. I really came to hear you preach. And St. Francis said this. He said, he did preach. Everywhere we walked, everyone we spoke to, he preached. He said, If you can't preach while you're walking, then there's no sense in preaching at all. In other words, the way we live our lives is a sermon every day to people. Are we reflecting God's love? Are we touching God in a, are we touching people's lives in a godly love in a powerful way? D.L. Moody also shared a story one time, and he made a commitment early in his life that he would share the love of Jesus to one person every day who'd never heard it, he hoped. And he did that with the sort of understanding that every seed that he sowed would not bear a lot of fruit. And one day he came home to the YMCA, I think up in Chicago, where he was staying, and he realized that it was about 11 o'clock at night and that he hadn't shared God's love with anyone that day. He hadn't told anyone about Jesus Christ. And so he decided he was going to go back out into the street. He went back out on the street. Again, it was late at night. He saw a person standing by a lamppost, and he went up to that person, this man, and started to share God's love and God's salvation with him. And the guy turned around and punched him right in the face and knocked D.L. Moody down to the street. And he was stunned, and the man was so upset he walked away. D.L. Moody went back to the YMCA, where he was staying, and he was discouraged. 3 months later, that same man knocked at the door of the YMCA. And he saw Moody. Moody didn't know what to think at first. Probably was ready to cover up a little bit there for a fist flying. And the man apologized. He said, "I am so sorry for what I did to you." He said, "God's word convicted me, and he had all kinds of things going on in his past." He said, "I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior right now." And so D.L. Moody led him to the Lord. Sometimes when we sow the seed of God's love, how will we do that? There's no one way of doing that. We think that didn't bear anything. Hopefully you won't get punched in the face. Can't guarantee it won't happen, but it's unlikely that it will happen. And sometimes you may think, well, I didn't do anything. I'm just walking along the way of life. No one really saw anything that meant anything. But the truth is, every day, everything that we do in some way is sowing a seed. And the question is, what's the seed that we're sowing? What's the seed that we're sowing? You and I might not know to the end of eternity what it really meant in someone's life. And we might be privileged to know that it did. But the question is, are we out there? First of all, are we the soil that receives God's word in the right attitude and willing to let that soil have deep roots and not let the cares of the world and our priorities get turned around, but to really nurture that and to allow it to bear fruit? And are we the sowing the seed? Are we like that sower? Time in my life, there was a friend of mine, and we were lab partners. I took electronics. I was going to work my way through college doing electronics, and so I took college prep and electronics. And my lab partner was a young man by the name of Pat. Now, Pat, I just got assigned Pat, so I didn't have anything to do with that. And Pat was, we had been friends early in life, but he got sort of turned aside, and every day he'd come to school, and he wore this long army jacket, army trench coat, actually. I don't think they even make them anymore. And it just reeked of smoke. It did just reek of cigarette smoke. It you know, reeked of pot. And it was just like, oh, man. And so he's sitting right next to me. And I, you know, trying to share God's love and sort of witness in the right way. And Pat also sort of financed his life by, he had this Volkswagen Beetle and would fill up with switchblades. And he drove to Mexico. He sold the switchblades in Mexico, and then he filled it up with marijuana to come back. So he sold marijuana back in the United States. And he was well known for that. I invited Pat to church, and I thought, you know, he's probably, you know, I said, we have this series going on. Why don't you come to church and Sunday school? And so, surprisingly enough, Pat said he would. And so we had to pick Pat up. Now, he did have a car, so who knows what was in the car, he didn't switch blades or pot. So I thought it was better just to pick Pat up. And if we did pick him up, he would just fall asleep. We'd go there, pick Pat up. Sometimes he'd go, sometimes he wouldn't go. And this went on for actually a couple years before I went on to college. And people would come up to me and say, "Does Pat go to church with you?" And I'd say, "Yeah, he does." And he'd go, "Do you know what Pat does?" But like, well, I kind of do. And he'd go like, "Dude, you know, what's he doing at church?" And when you get to church, man, you could smell him long ways away. Not from, you know, bad deodorant, but this certain other smell on him. And I went to college, and I didn't really know what happened to Pat. A couple years later, I had this phone call when I'm home on spring break, and it was Pat. And he said, "You wanna go get coffee at McDonald's?" And I thought,
Sure, I haven't seen him for a couple years. Why not? So we get to McDonald's, and we're in line, and he turns to me, and he didn't smell like he usually smelled, and he said, I gave my heart to the Lord. And at first I thought he was making fun of me, because I thought, you know, this would be, I kind of went like this, and he goes, no. He said, I gave my heart to the Lord. He said, remember all that time you guys took me to church and everything, and he said, I must have smelled or whatever, you know, the things I was doing. I said, yeah, I did know about that. And he said, I just gave my heart to the Lord. He said, I got in trouble, got arrested, and I was facing a lot of trouble and just sort of brought things down to a crisis. And he said, I gave my heart to the Lord and set my life on a new track. And he said, now I'm looking at, I've been going to church. I've been going to Bible study. And he said, I'm looking at being a missionary. And I could have just hit the floor right then. And if you would have asked me, of all the people in my class, who would be a missionary, I could tell you it wouldn't be Pat at any time. But you never know in life how people's lives are changed. And it's such a good example, I think. I think of that often because you think about a life where you think, geez, this guy is just rock hard. He's sidewalk. The seed is just going to bounce off there, and maybe I'm just going through the motions, but I'm going to do it anyway because God says to reach out, and God loves to welcome the lost. And then all of a sudden you see that God can take any soil and work a miracle because God can break the hardest soil. God can sweep aside the thorniest pathway. And then when that seed does bear root and the plant sprouts, then the people you never thought would grow to be a mature Christian, all of a sudden a missionary. And you know that person bore 30, 60, 100-fold of all of that. And that's just like the miracle of God's love. And when you look at the miracle of each seed, and it's easy to explain it, but really, honestly, we're here in farm country, isn't that really a miracle? You know, there's seeds that can be locked up or frozen or in dry storage for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden you unthaw them or you plant them, and all of a sudden they bear life. And I think there's hope there, too. Maybe you've got a son or daughter, a grandson or granddaughter, and they seem like they're far away from the Lord. Know this, that God's seed can bear root and bear fruit when you least realize it. So keep them in prayer. Share the seed. Share God's love and turn it over to God because God is the creator who loves us in the greatest way possible. So I challenge all of us. What kind of soil are we, first of all? Have we become too hard maybe by circumstances of life, or have we allowed the cares of the world to choke faith, the priorities of life? Maybe we should sweep that aside, or maybe we should sort of break up the rocky soil of our life. And then, are we growing in our faith? Do we continue to grow? And then are we also the sower? We're going to share the seed that is born in our life and allow God to do miracles where you never thought miracles would happen. You see a person you don't think they would ever come to Christ, don't worry. Put that in God's hands. That's not our responsibility. That's God's responsibility. But share it to those you think would be accepting of it and those you wouldn't think, and just let God sort that out and trust God that God is the creator who made the seed, who made the soil, he made the sunshine, the rain, and God can bring life where we never thought the miracle of life could happen. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we're so thankful for your word and the truth that it brings to our hearts and lives. Help us, Lord, to be receptive to your word. Help us to grow each and every day, and help us to make you first in our life. And then, Lord, help us to share your word. No matter what kind of person, help us not to let the blindness of our eyes and the prejudice of our heart keep us from sharing your word, but to reach out to share your love and help us to be open to the miracle that you can make in all of our lives through your power and to your glory. Amen.